balance between grihastha life and spiritual life. You have to integrate. You have to integrate spiritual practices as part of your home. We have to eat, so we shuffle all of our food, and then we don't eat too much. We have to follow the basic principles of sadhana bhakti, no matter what ashram we're in, brahmachari, grihastha, or sannyas. The principles are to surrender. That's the basic. Any devotee, what is the sort of lakshan of a devotee? The sort of lakshan of a devotee is surrender. As we accumulate spiritual knowledge for the purpose of increasing our faith in God. And when that's called sambandha gyan. And sambandha means relationship. Knowledge about the relationship. What is my relationship to God? What is my relationship to this world? What is my relationship to this body? What is the time factor? What is my relationship with time? What is my relationship with action? Karma, action. So this is the basic fundamental knowledge of spiritual life. It's called sambandha gyan. So where does that lead us? Where does all that accumulation of knowledge lead us? It leads us to faith. Shraddha, ado shraddha tata sarasanga. We develop our faith. Faith in Shastra, faith in bhakti, faith in the goal of bhakti, faith in Krishna, this faith develops. And what's the proof that one's faith is developed? The proof that one's faith is developed is that he surrenders. Sharanagati. Anukalyasya sankalpa, pratikalyasya varjana, rakshishyatiti vishvaso, gotratve vananam tata. Atmanikshepa karpanye, shadvida sharanagati. As described, there are six symptoms. So what are the symptoms? It's one surrendered. The symptoms that one is actually surrendered to Krishna, to God, is that he starts to regulate and adjust his life by accepting everything that's favorable for Krishna bhakti and rejecting everything that's unfavorable. He starts implementing these principles of surrender in his daily life. That's the sign of a devotee. So balance is based on this formula, sixfold formula of surrender. So the most important thing is to give up association with non-devotees. E Vaishnavachar. Asat Sangha Tyag, E Vaishnavachar. Lord Chaitanya was asked by some grihasthas, what is the most important thing for grihasthas to do? And Lord Chaitanya said the most important thing is they give up association with non-devotees. Because non-devotees destroy faith in God. And non-devotees destroy the practices of bhakti. They say, why don't you eat onions and garlic? Why don't you eat meat? Why don't you drink? Why don't you smoke? Why don't you be tamasic and rajasic like me? Why are you trying to live a sattvic lifestyle? Why are you trying to eat sattvic ahara? And so by their association, one gets becomes dull. He becomes influenced. So Lord Chaitanya said, this is the principle for all devotees, no matter what your ashram is, to start letting go of bad association. Mother, father, uncle, cousin, friends, whoever. Not necessary. Because they're antagonistic to our goal. Our goal is prema. Prema Vartaman, love of God. So we have to establish that. That faith is established when we accumulate knowledge. Knowledge of me, knowledge of the practice, and knowledge of the goal. Who am I? What is the goal of life? And how to attain it? Sambandha avideya prayojan. So then once we define our goal, then we have to act accordingly to move towards our goal. Oh, these people aren't good association. All these parties, all these weddings, all this crap. We try to reduce it to the minimum. Before we would go to every wedding for our parivar, our wife's parivar, 1,000,000,000 weddings, 50 weddings a year. All unnecessary waste of time and bad association. So now you narrow it down, just wedding, my brother's wedding, my sister's wedding, your brother's wedding, wife's brother, just a few. necessary, absolutely necessary to maintain balance and peace in the parivar. But more than that, just to be a nice guy and just to be friendly and, oh, you don't care about me. Well, actually, it's a fact, I don't care about you. You're my 10th cousin's uncle's nephew's brother's cousin's brother's wife's getting married. I really don't care about you. I don't have any relation with you other than somehow you connected us together by some family connection. You sent me an invitation. But whether I live or die, you don't care. And whether you live or die, I don't care, ultimately. So why did I waste my time going to your wedding? It's like this. But we entangle ourselves with so much useless so-called commitments. So a devotee will start cutting these off. He'll just cut off. And he doesn't care. And what's important is wife, husband, mother-in-law, father-in-law. You know, there's like 10, 20 people that are really important. 10, say 25 from your family, 25 from your wife's family, and after that, chalenga. Otherwise you spoil your whole life. Your life gets spoiled in useless social engagements. And that's a very practical consideration, immediate consideration for grihasthas, is that frees up your time. It frees your time for sadhusanga and sadhana bhakti. Because the biggest complaint is no time, which you said. So you have to find time by not wasting time. By applying this principle. This is the principle, the rule of thumb, or the principle for all devotees, especially grihasthas. Accept and reject what is unfavorable. Accept what is favorable, reject what is unfavorable. Always feel that Krishna is my maintainer. And he's my protector, he's my guardian. He'll maintain me. He's doing everything. It's his money, it's his world, it's his house. My wife belongs to Krishna, my family belongs to Krishna, I belong to Krishna. Krishna's the center. Let us all live together and cooperate together and work together for the pleasure of Krishna. This is the goal of my life, my wife's life, and everybody's life. You have to have some harmony. If only one person, only husband's into God and the wife's not, that makes it practically impossible. Very difficult. There's always been antagonism. From the closest point. So in that situation, if only one party is into God, then the other party has to do tapasya with sankalpa that they fall will go to the wife or husband, whomever, that they will become spiritually inclined. And then you can see that because he brought another tapasyas, when the sankalpa is taken for their benefit, that they will derive benefit. And they'll change their attitude within 1 or 2 years. They'll generally become inclined. We've seen many examples. Very powerful. Transferring the punya by your sankalpa. It's a principle of Shastra. And the same thing in the material world also. You write a letter to your bank, transfer $1 million from my account to my son's account. Very common. Transfer accounts. Just write a letter, call, whatever. Now you do it on computer, I suppose, internet. Transferring money. It's your money, but then you're wire your mother and say, Mom, I'm really short. You know, can you wire me some money? Can I transfer money to my account? That's a very common thing. So you didn't do anything, then you go to the bank. Oh, look, you've got 1 lakh. Oh, yeah, my mother sent. How do you got this? Oh, my mother transferred from Punjab. Oh yeah, you got a good mother. So the same thing, you can transfer this punya. But the thing about punya is you keep your punya for yourself and also the other person gets some. You transfer a lakh but you still have a lakh. That's a good deal. Spiritual banking is more profitable. Material banking you can get loss. But spiritual banking, in fact, you even tell that if someone performs that austerity with the idea that the benefit will go to another, that with that attitude you get 100 times the benefit yourself. They get one full benefit, whoever you think of, but then you get 100 times benefit just because you have the compassionate view to help someone else. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good deal. You think, oh, I'm going to give you this 1 lakh, and then they get the lakh, then you turn around and you have 100 lakhs. Your 1 lakh became 100. So that's very good. I should do this more often. It's very amazing spiritual banking. So that's how you can influence. Other than that, it's very difficult. Otherwise, you harangue your wife or husband, and you should get into this, it's good for you. No, I don't want it. The more you try to encourage one, the more they'll resist. That's human nature. What's the good you should do? No, 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 you should really do. No, you should really do. No! The more you encourage it, you try to push them, the more they'll resist. So you have to use gentle persuasion. Invisible. You know, it's almost like tantric. Krishna tantric. Let Krishna, let the supersoul do it. Please Krishna, then everything can be accomplished. As Krishna is controlling everything from his vantage point of sitting in people's hearts. People can't help but be controlled by Krishna. He's controlling us at every moment anyway. Digesting our food and maintaining our body is Paramatma. So in this way we can try. That's the first thing. And accept things that are favorable. So Grihastha says they should invite devotees into their house regularly, once a month or so. As much as possible, hear Harikatha from devotees. The most value is hearing Harikatha. Attending Mangalarti and these things, they have some limited value. They are limbs of bhakti, but they are not very effective in changing consciousness. What changes consciousness is shabda. Shabda Brahman. Whole creation has come about because of Shabda. Pranava Omkara. The origin of creation is Omkara. Sound. So by sound, material creation comes into being, and by sound, material creation can be destroyed. So this is the way. That's why by chanting Hare Krishna you can destroy the material creation. The sound is very powerful, but if you just go and see, eye program is not so much powerful. See with your eyes. We can't see anywhere. Can't really see. You can't see with your eyes. We have to see with devotion. Seva Mukhi Jivada Swayamaja Sparakya. By Seva we can see. God is seen by Seva. Seva Mukhi Jivada Swayamaja Sparakya. Spurti, Bhagavan Spurti. Vision of God comes by doing Seva Mukhi. Beginning Jiva, beginning with the tongue. Anavriti Shabdad. A famous aphorism from the Vedas. This is from Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra was a summary of the whole Vedas by Vyasadeva. It says here, these are famous shlokas. Janmadyasya yataha Atatu Brahma Jignasa, Ananda Maya Vyasat, Tattvamasi, all these type of things. This is one, Anavriti Shabdat, Anavriti Shabdat. Vedanta Sutra, Part 4, Chapter 4, Verse 22. Anavriti Shabdat, Anavriti Shabdat. One obtains liberation and prema through Shabda. Here, Shabda means Shabda Brahman, transcendental sound vibration. Paramananda, Sri Krishna's name, is that very transcendental Shabda Brahma. Anavriti Shabda, Anavriti Shabda. So this is it. The whole creation can be annihilated by chanting Hare Krishna. So this sound vibration is very powerful when you associate with sadhus and they speak Shabda Brahman. They connect your consciousness to God. So through sound. Sound is the vehicle which carries the Atma to God, not sight, not taste. Oh, come to the temple, go to Mangalarti, take prasad. Okay, that's nice. But the real thing is they should really emphasize, come to Bhagavatam class. Sleep till 7, have a nice sleep, and quickly jump up, get in the car, just brush your teeth and just forget about bathing, whatever, just run to the temple, be there by 8 o'clock for class, 8 to 9. Then go back, take a bath, take a breakfast and go to work. Be there by 10. This is important, this is the real thing. Shabda. Nashta Pariyesha Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavad Yuktamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtiki. Nashtiki Bhakti, you can get Nishta by hearing Nitya Bhagavat Sevaya. Hearing Bhagavat. This is what Vyasadeva is telling you. Nashta Pariyesha Badre, all Abhadra, all bad things can become Nash, same as Hindi, destroyed. Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moh, Matsarya, Mada, everything destroyed. How? By Bhagavat Shravan, hearing Bhagavat. This is a statement of Bhagavatam. Right? Nashta Pareshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yuktama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishviki. And then, when all bad things are destroyed in the heart, then you can become very steady in bhakti, steady in devotion, good devotee. So, therefore, we must avoid the non devotees and associate with devotees. Here, through sound vibration. Hear them speak Harikatha, then our consciousness will become fixed, our doubts will become removed, and our faith will become enhanced. And when our doubts are removed and our faith is enhanced, then we can surrender. Then we can easily give up onions and garlic and television and newspapers and all kinds of nonsense pursuits, because we lose taste. When the consciousness is fixed in God, then you lose your attraction to Maya. You can't fix your consciousness without Shabda Brahman, sound vibration. So of course if you can't go to the temple, you can get so many CDs, and all the gurus have lectures and CDs, they all have websites. You can download audio on the website onto your MP3 player or your computer, and they have all these facilities. You know better than me about all this stuff. You know, Gopaka Shamaji has a website, 2,000-3,000 lectures are there. On the website, it's quite a good amount of lectures. That'll keep you busy, I'm sure. All the gurus have. And Chopadi Beach, Radhana Swami, he has some website, and he has he keeps the tapes of all the gurus. You can go on his website and hear and download tapes of all the gurus. Indraduna Swami and Bhakti Vikas Swami, of course, Radhana Swami, myself also. They carry my lectures. And anybody, you know, that gives them their stuff, they carry. He's very open-minded type. They're making that facility. They have 9,000 people that listen to them regularly to their, you know, part of their website. 9,000 devotees. Initiated in congregation in India, Pune, Bombay, you know, this type. It's pretty big. And they're telling me that mostly they're like Radha Swami's followers, for the large part. Or would-be disciples or whatever, but they really like listening to all the other lectures. That's what he was telling me, the person in charge. I gave him a few tapes and he said, oh, give more, they're always asking more. So this is very, lots. It's easy to hear. This is, we should emphasize this, hearing more and more. And then things will grow automatically. Just like a tree, you put the seed in the ground, and the seed has the potential for leaves and twigs and branches and flowers and fruits, mango tree, for example. But you don't give any water, then where's that seed going to go? A very slow program. So the seed of bhakti is coming from devotees, from knowledge, from the books. Unless you water it, then where can it go? Prabhupada always emphasized hearing and chanting. Hear the philosophy and chant Hare Krishna. Don't get all bound up by rules and regulations and this thing, that thing. Just improve the consciousness and automatically everything changes. You don't have to worry about, it's not that some father has to take his 5-year-old son, now you sit down, I have to teach you all about women. There's something called women, you have to learn about this thing called women. You know, here's charts and diagrams and There's no separate training required. As soon as you become 12, 13, 15, whatever, then automatically you figure out about women. Right? And you figure out how to meet them, how to talk to them, how to catch one, or whatever your father arranges, however. The same thing. First we have to establish or reawaken, we can say awaken the devotion in our hearts. When we awaken devotion in our hearts, then all what we have to do and how we have to go to Krishna and how we have to meet Him or serve Him, that will all become revealed. It's not like first rules and regulations and then knowledge. First knowledge, vidya, then manana, contemplation, then icha, desire, then kriya, action. This is the progress. First vidya. Every avatar comes to this world to teach. Krishna, Ram, they all come for teaching. They teach dharma. So that means if they're teaching, who's learning? Who's learning is we, the conditioned souls. We're in ignorance, so we need knowledge. Tamasi mam jyotirgama. We're in tama, they're in ignorance, illusion, darkness, doubts, confusion, bewilderment. That's tamagun, ignorance. So we have to gamana. Gamana means to go, move, travel. We have to go to the light, jyoti. Tamasi mam jyotirgama. Gama. Gama means to move. Light means knowledge. If you have knowledge, you have light. You're enlightened. You can see yourself, you can see God, you can see this world. Tamasi mam jyotirgama. Vidya and paravidya. Vidya is computers and business management and medicine and all this stuff. This isn't called vidya, but paravidya. This is transcendental knowledge. This is soul knowledge, atma-gyan, atma-tattva-gyan. The Prabhupada has 80 books. No shortage of books. And he has 1,000 lecture tapes, maybe 1,200 lecture tapes. So there's lots to read about, lots to hear. So don't waste time. Eat less, sleep less. Change your lifestyle. Eat less and you sleep less and you have more time to read. But we eat like pigs and sleep like pigs. Eat like pigs and sleep like bears. Right. This bear, he's famous. The bear eats so much in the spring and summer. In the winter he just goes in his cave and he just has big belly. In this December, January, February, you know, a smart guy, you know, it's too much cold to do anything. Oh, he just has a big belly and just lives on that belly 3 months in his cave. Then it gets warm again. Oh, okay, he comes out. Oh, I feel very hungry. You know, it's been 3 months since I ate. Oh! And starts eating so many things. We eat like a pig, sleep like a bear. Well, we should eat like a bird, sleep like a cow. A bird eats nothing, just a seed or two here and there. And a cow doesn't sleep, sleeps maybe an hour a day. A cow is a very sattvic animal. Even in sleeping pattern. A cow eats a lot, so I don't say eat like a cow. They're eating all the time. They're eating all the time, but they hardly sleep. And actually, closing their eyes and sleep is very rare. If you ever have any experience in goshalas, you can ask them. Cows sit there, and he's always standing, she's always making milk. They always stand there. 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, but you can go 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, any time in the night you can go, the cow is up. It's not like, other than monkeys, they sleep 10, 12 hours a day, dogs 10, 12 hours a day. Other animals are so tamasic, birds, cow is, this is the motto, eat like a bird, sleep like a cow. But the soul is very tiny. And then we stuff it up with this huge body. Elephant's body, whale's body. My philosophy of life is this, you can summarize it. Material life, less is more. Less things you can do materially, the more you'll make spiritual advancement. And material life, more is more. So if you want to make... So material life means less is more. Less eating, more spiritual advancement. Less sleeping, more spiritual advancement. Less making money and getting so wrapped up with making money 24 hours a day, more time for spiritual advancement. Less family and family connections and all this, more time for Krishna. Less is more. This is material life, less. If you're thinking, oh, should I eat this or not? Then no, less. Eat less. Oh, I'm not really hungry. I'm really quite full from breakfast, but anyway, it looks good and, you know, it's, everyone else is eating. Okay, I'll eat. This is wrong. This is wrong way, wrong calculation. So less is more. Eat less, be more healthy. More people died of overeating than starvation. More people die from too much eating than less eating. Really, it's a fact. Because all this heart problem, kidney problem, diabetes, is all from overeating. So how many people have heart problems around the world? Millions. Are there millions of people dying of starvation? Oh, a few people here and there, Africa, I don't know, whatever. They have their statistics. A few people, I mean, sure, people, that's karma. We're in New York, people are dying of starvation, even in the richest country in the world. That's karma. America's supposed to be so rich. Switzerland's so rich. People also die of starvation. This is destiny. It doesn't even do it. First world country, second world country, it's destiny. We certainly can have a house full of food and die of starvation. You know, no appetite. Guy has some disease, he gets stricken with some disease, and anorexia, it's called anorexia, and he has no appetite, and he has no friends, he's just some old guy or something, and his house is full of food, and he just doesn't eat day after day, and he finally dies. People come in and see the skeleton guy, a house full of food, and they say, what is this? He died of starvation. It's very common. Because he had some karma that he was going to lose his appetite and he couldn't eat. So if you don't eat, then what happens? You get weak and you can die. But in spiritual life, more is more. More chanting, more advancement. More studying, more advancement. More austerities, more advancement. More seva, more advancement. Not, oh, less, I did some seva, oh, less is more. No, you did 5 hours seva, okay, now do five more. More seva, better. Very simple. More is more, less is more. One philosophy for material life, less is more. Less sex. You know, husband and wife is always having sex. So less sex, more peace of mind. More physical health, more strength of character, more strength of mind and memory, and more spiritual advancement. But if you take the philosophy more is more, then you just become so much sick and debilitated and weak. Everything, all these things, these physical urges have to be done in moderation. It's not possible. You can't eat all day, you'll get so much sick. You can't have sex all day, you get so much sick. You can't sleep all day, you get sick. These are the basic material activities, ahara, nidra, maitra, and vayam. They all have to be regulated. Regulated and controlled. So this is, in any position in life, we have to control the senses. Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udrapasta vegam. Brahmacharya, sannyasi, grihastha. We have to surrender, we have to hear, we have to control our time, and we have to control our senses. So these are some basic ideas for you to think about. Grihastha life. Any life. Prabhupada said, without controlling, in the Gita it says, without controlling the senses, spiritual advancement is an illusion. It's an illusion. If you don't control the senses, senses mean tongue, genital, eyes, all the senses are there. If you don't control the senses, spiritual life is an illusion. It's not. There's no such thing. You can't have your cake and eat it too, as they say. Keep your cake, oh, there's my nice cake. And then eat also. I want to keep it, nice cake. And then eat it. Either you eat it and it's gone, or you keep it and you don't eat it, then you get hungry. So you can't have sense gratification. Probably one place he says, a life of sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. It means they don't mix. No mix. It doesn't work. Ill means bad, they don't mix. So either you can have sense gratification and no Krishna, or you can minimize sense gratification and more Krishna. It's like this. So in grihastha life, there's too much sense gratification. Because basically, it's the tongue and the genital. The wife is satisfying the tongue by not very sumptuous cooking and satisfying the genitals. So these absorption in these activities takes us far, far away from Krishna. Far away. As is bhog. The opposite of seva is bhog. But Krishna's he's the original bogey. It's Krishna. Bhaktaram yagasapasam sarvalokameshram suvidam sarvutanam gyantamashan yantamam shantirichati. Krishna says in Gita chapter 5:29, he says, I am the Bhaktaram. I am the supreme enjoyer. Everyone should work for my pleasure. We honor prasadam. We don't consume it. We're not consumers. The consumer generation, India now has a consumer generation just like the Western world. There's a strong middle class. They're making good money. And so they're consuming. One TV, two TVs, three TVs, four TVs, five cell phones. One couch, two couch, three couch, one car, two cars, three cars, one blender, two blenders, three blenders, one toaster, two, one microwave for the husband, one microwave for the wife, one microwave for the kids. Consuming useless items, cluttering up our houses and minds with all kinds of useless possessions. Consumerism. But when we sit down for prasadam, we honor prasadam. As Krishna's, we offer this food to Krishna with love and devotion. And he's entered inside this prasadam. He has transformed this food into spiritual energy. So we honor it. Sacred food. That's why Prabhupada always ate in silence. Prabhupada always ate all the time, by himself, rather. So they could meditate. Because if you eat by yourself, you actually eat less. If you eat alone, you eat less. There's no one forcing you. Like in Indian households, the mother or the wife, more, more, more. I made this for you. It's your favorite. Come on, you eat 1 kilo. Oh, okay, I eat one kilo. Oh, eat another kilo. It's very good. Oh, we can't waste it. No, you want me to waste it? No. Oh, yeah, don't waste it. Okay, now give me 3 kilos. Because it's a way of expressing love. This also is not just eating. It's a way of mothers and wives expressing love. And that's nothing wrong with that. That's quite necessary. To receive love and to give love. But for a saintly, for a sadhaka, a spiritual practitioner, he must understand that to get Krishna's love, we have to be controlled. This is a higher, more important love. Even the walls are confirming our statements. The walls are speaking, yes, yes, confirmation.
But prasadam we should take up here. But some devotee was saying that you should have prasadam till you have over. You can eat as much as you like.
Well, it's just like, you know, that when you're raising your children, when a little boy or girl, then you give them everything they want and you kind of tolerate some of their misbehaviors. But as soon as they become 7 or 8, then you start cracking them. Hey, don't do like this. You have to start correcting them and chastising them, otherwise they become animals when they grow up. So there's some liberality when one is a child, a baby, in terms of, you know, they eat 27 times a day, and then as they grow up, say, now look, you have to be regulated. You eat breakfast with us, and they eat lunch and dinner. Otherwise it's not healthy. When they're little, maybe it's okay. You know, you start imposing some rules and regulations of social decorum and hygiene and many things like this, in order to reform the wayward nature of the child and to bring him to proper adulthood, and so he's a proper social organism, not a misfit or egotist or some kind of selfish brat. You have to train him in proper manners and etiquette. The same way when someone's first coming to Krishna consciousness, in other words, the rules for a bhakta are different from the rules for an initiated one. In a different position, different posts, and there's different rules and different parameters of behavior. How the 5-year-old behaves, like when the boy's 2 years old, he goes naked in the village. So that means he can go naked his whole life? You can go naked your whole life. And when you're 1 year old, you can go out on the street and pass poop. When you're 15 years old, you can do that? No. You have to go to the fields, or you have to go to the bathroom, whatever. So at different standards, at different levels, in different ages, there's different laws and regulations. So someone is uninitiated, and they're totally in Maya, and they're non-vegetarian, and there's so much consciousness contaminated, and they don't have much interest, no faith in God, and no interest in bhajan, and no attraction to the holy name, then what to do for them? Eat. Everyone has faith in eating. Everyone's quite familiar with eating. We have very strong sanskaras for eating. We have very strong impressions in our consciousness for eating. So So then you eat as much as possible. So this is what they tell everyone, Sunday love feast, you eat as much as possible. Then once you join, they say, okay, stop. Control your tongue. Vacha vegam, manasa gota vegam. You don't tell the baby that. You don't tell the baby, hey, you have to wear a suit and tie, shirt and pants. Go to work. No, you don't wear anything. Okay, pee on the floor, go here and there, it doesn't matter. You're only 1 year old. But if he's 5 years old and 7 years old and he starts peeing on the floor, then he's going to get a crack. Hey, what is this? Isn't it? 7 years old, he just opens his drawers and pees in the living room. You think that's a good thing? In front of all your relatives? No, you get a good crack. So there's different rules at different stages. So once one joins, then he comes to understand, oh, we have to control our senses. We're supposed to honor prasadam and respect prasadam and realize each bite is Krishna. And when you do that, because prasadam is transcendental, it's not an orgy, it's not a food orgy, it's not a smorgasbord, it's not a chapan bhog, chuck-a-chuck, you know, expand the waistline. This is the wrong preaching, wrong conception. But it's like a sale, like if someone wants to get someone in the store, half price sale. They come in the store, what's half price? All those junky chapels over there. Oh, okay, but there's nothing there. Oh, but there's so many other good things in the store, but it's full price. They want to get you in the store, so they attract you somehow, like tricking. So the same thing in Krishna consciousness, we have to trick people out of Maya. Oh, come to the Sunday feast. And they say, oh, is every day like this? You have sweet rice, and like when in America, a big Sunday feast. Sweet rice, and gulab jamuns, and halava, and pakoras, and chutney, and cheese sabji, and puri, and all cooked in cow's ghee, and like unbelievable taste. So yeah, we eat like this every day, come on, join, you know. Okay, sounds great. Then I join, and then next day at breakfast, it's, you know, khichdi. It's not chak, khichdi, what's this? It looks like porridge or something. Then lunch is chapati, one sabji, some, you know, watery dal. No sweet rice, no pakora, no chutney, no kafta ball, no nothing. And then dinner, no dinner at all. Just a cup of hot milk, that's it, naribo. Acha, that's all, a cup of hot milk. I mean, you know, 1 o'clock lunch, and now it's 8 o'clock, 7 hours, I'm working all day. I get a cup of milk, yeah, Hare Krishna. Acha, okay. So either you run away, because you got cheated, or you say, okay, this is bhakti yoga, and this is how we have to control our senses. Prabhu, you have to control your senses. But I thought you said we should eat that. That was then, now is now. That was before you joined, now you joined, we tell you the truth. So we can't lie forever. You can't let your child go naked forever. And at some point you say, now you have to start dressing, and you have to start going to the bathroom, you can't pee on the living room floor, it's not permitted anymore. So the same way, it's not eat up to the neck. It's not like that. If you encourage someone to do something good, then you become a conspirator in their goodness and you get some benefit. If you encourage someone to do something bad, you become a conspirator in their badness and you can go to jail. Someone does a crime, they say, so how does this crime happen? Oh, actually, you know, Yatin told me to do like this. Oh, who is this Yatin? Then you also go to jail. Conspiracy. The law works like this. How you made this bomb? Who gave you this idea? Oh, I learned this bomb. Yatin taught me how to make this. Then you're in trouble. So if you do good things, help someone come to Krishna, and encourage them to fast or chant, then you also get benefit. That's why the preachers get so much benefit. You see your Guru Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he's so much benefited because he's always teaching. He's always giving class, so many classes, and teaching and helping people do the right activities so that he gets all that benefit also. That's why he's so perfectly situated. Not only his own bhajan, which is so good, and Prabhupada's mercy, but blessings from everybody he's helping. He's helping and he's being helped. This is a speciality. If a doctor helps someone get healthy, he doesn't become healthy. He just helps the guy become healthy. He may even get sick by taking some germs from the guy. Material activities are somewhat limited. But spiritual activities is very beneficial. That's why it says in the first canto of Bhagavatam, everyone gets benefit. The person who's speaking gets benefit by speaking, the person who's hearing gets benefit, and anybody, even animals in the atmosphere are hearing, birds, animals, trees. So everyone gets benefit by Harikatha, even one who's speaking. Like I'm giving, speaking and you're getting benefit, but I'm also getting benefit. Because the subject matter is transcendental, it's Krishna. Krishna is the theme and center of all our discussion. So then we're with Krishna. Smartavyo Satatam Vishnu. It says, Smartavyo Satatam Vishnu. Always remember Vishnu. So this is perfection.